Welcome to I've Never Seen Star Wars. Hello, I'm Marcus Brigstock, and during the next half hour, I will be cajoling my guest into trying several things they've never done before. My initiate tonight is a writer, presenter, he's the editor of Private Eye, and the smart one who so gallantly takes second place every week on Have I Got News For You. Would you please welcome Ian Hislop? Well, welcome, Ian. Very nice to see you, and there was a gasp when I said your name. Surely Ian Hislop has done everything. Are you good at trying new things? Are you brave?
No, I'm terrible at trying new things. I tend to sort of find things I like doing or enjoy doing and then be slightly worried.
Were you like that as a little boy? I mean, I find it slightly hard to imagine you as a little boy, to be honest. Were you always like you are now? That's what I'm asking, really.
Was I fully formed?
Yeah.
In a suit.
Yeah.
The Daily Mail kindly ran a picture of myself at age 8 and then a picture of myself last week. And there wasn't a lot of change, which was a bit worrying. It's partly why I thought I should do this show, to embrace a spirit of adventure.
Now, Ian, are you interested in clothes?
Not very, no. That's part of the reason I like wearing suits, because you don't have to think.
I mean, you've got a very nice suit on this evening. It's a grey flannel suit with a tidy pink shirt.
And I haven't worn a tie. That's a first.
Yes, that's
true. That's how bold it's going to be.
Yeah. How would you define your look?
Accountant Monkey.
So you were never sort of drawn as a teenager to being a punk or a goth or any of those sorts of things?
No. Yeah. You'll be amazed to hear. I mean, only for comic effect.
So where do you normally shop?
Nowhere, if possible.
Right.
I hate shopping. I really hate shopping. I particularly hate clothes shopping.
Yes.
But if necessary, M&S are very good.
Yeah, marvellous.
Anything with initials, BHS.
Yes.
M&S, C&A, IKEA.
So where do you usually buy your jeans from?
I don't buy jeans.
In fact, you had never bought or worn a pair of jeans.
I've never bought a pair of jeans, and I have no memory of wearing them. I have a memory of trying very hard not to.
I suppose the first question is, how?
I was just slightly worried by it. I thought, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And as I've got older, I thought, oh, God, no.
Well, did you sort of feel that the jeans boat had passed you by?
It had sailed very definitively.
Yeah.
And I was on the quay waving it goodbye. So, no, I've never bought jeans. So.
Okay. Well, we sent you out to buy your first pair of jeans, and your first choice was to go to John Lewis. Or Marks and Spencer's. But firstly, I thought that would be too easy. And secondly, I wasn't keen on you coming back with something with an elasticated waist. So where did you go for your jeans?
Well, I thought if I'm going to do this properly, we'll go to Carnaby Street. Swinging London. Very much me.
So lots of jean shops on Carnaby Street. What did you choose?
I went into Diesel.
You see, that's exactly the reaction that I was expecting, because I think, and I've worn jeans since as far back as I can remember, I think Diesel jean shopping is quite advanced. I find buying jeans in Diesel a little bit intimidating. You went right in at the deep end. OK, well, let's have a listen to your visit to Carnaby Street to buy your first ever pair of jeans.
After a pair of jeans, said confidently.
What kind of fit are you after?
What kind?
Slim,
fit.
Skinny, regular stray, baggy, loose, carrot fit.
Carrot fit?
Oh, yeah.
Let me try a pair of these on.
How are you getting on?
They don't seem to come up very far. they are quite...
Yeah.
Oh. I went in looking normal, I've turned into Jeremy Clarkson. I'm wearing... Is there anything else you think might be as good as that?
Yeah, I can get you a more slimmer stray.
Ah.
There you go.
You see, that looks as though it's come from the Oxfam shop.
It's actually got a hole in it.
This is fantastic. This pair of jeans says
den imbued with a sense of adventure designed for legs that want stories to tell.
Like my legs. Quite like these.
Yes, yes, I've bought them. I'm going to buy these. I'm definitely going to buy these.
Cheers. And you did.
I did.
Did you establish what carrot fit was?
Yeah. A carrot fit is very, very thin as it tapers down and then very low crutch so that you look like a carrot.
It's quite a niche look, isn't it?
Well, the man selling them to me was wearing carrot fit.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. And he had very, very profuse curly hair, so he did actually look like a carrot.
The producer of the show, Bill, went with you. Could you have done this on your own?
No, I don't think I'd have gone in.
What did you choose in the end?
I went for a classic look, you'll be pleased to hear. Yeah. A straight trouser, but not a flare. Mm. I thought, even I know that's not actually still in.
They're sitting on the floor next to you, your jeans. I'm quite keen, and I suspect the audience are, to see you put them on. I think if you want to go behind the curtain, that's absolutely fine. I think while Ian's changing, we might play some music. I pull my blue jeans on. I pull my blue jeans on. There is a level of tension in the studio now. For listeners at home, it's possibly hard to imagine, but really a very, very eager sense of anticipation. Some people quite nervous. One lady's passed out there. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ian Hislop in a pair of jeans. I sort of worried that I might have to flatter you a bit and say say something nice about them.
Yeah, you
those
do.
Those really suit you. I mean, they look
such a liar.
Don't know, they do. They do.
And the bloke in the shop said, if you wear them with a suit jacket, that's fine. He said, that's what most middle-aged men do.
Are you comfortable?
I'm the most comfortable man in the world. No, I'm fine. I walked down the road afterwards, having bought them, and went and bought a cup of coffee, and I was amazed, because no-one appeared to hit me or go, just take them off now. Yeah, I'm just so much more relaxed. Casual.
Yeah.
I might wear them to Evensong.
Well, I'm very impressed that you went and did it, and I think you look great in them, but I'm going to ask, what would your marks out of 10 be for buying your first pair of jeans?
I didn't understand a lot of it, but it seemed to pass off with very little incident. It was about 8.
8 out of 10. Ian, you've been satirist-in-chief on Have I Got News For You for over 20 years. You've been editor of Private Eye for 25 years. You're a journalist, a television historian, a talented writer, and yet despite all of this, you had never played Grand Theft Auto 4 on the Xbox. Something that I know the audience and I find truly extraordinary.
It's an incredible oversight.
I know. Are you sort of up to date on technology?
I'm up to date on the technology I have to be.
Computers and modern telephones and all those things.
Yeah, no, I can use a mobile phone and I can text people.
And does your mobile have any games on it or anything?
No. No, I mean, I don't use it for leisure.
Twitter, Facebook, those sorts of things?
No. There is someone on Facebook pretending to be me. And when I found out about it, I said I thought it was really tragic. I mean, it's bad enough being me, but pretending. I thought it was quite a sad moment for someone. And there's someone on Twitter who says they're me and writes things like, huh, Paul and I just went out for a meal. That's going to happen.
I'm really upset that that isn't you. I've been following you for months. Your son has an Xbox, doesn't he?
Yes, so I was capable of asking him how to do the game. Yeah. So I have played it, yeah.
Describe Grand Theft Auto.
Execrable. Mm-hmm. It's a game where you have to pretend to be a recent immigrant into New York from somewhere in East Europe. You have a dodgy war record. The hint is that there's some sort of atrocity that you've been involved in. So you don't start off as one of the good guys.
Wicked.
That's the scenario. You go to this place and Then I wasn't sure what you did, and my son said, those are the punching and kicking buttons. So you have to drive a car, and there's one button which means you can steal cars. This is Grand Theft Auto. So you press the Y button, your character charmingly stops the traffic, grabs the driver, throws them into the road, and you jump in. And you have to get away pretty quick, or else they do it back to you. I learned.
Having stolen a car, you thought you'd just sit in it and just enjoy it for a while.
To be honest, Marcus, I thought, I'm ashamed of myself. I hope the police turn up and I'm brought to justice.
Let's get this whole sorry affair over as quickly as we possibly can.
But it is called Grand Theft Auto, so that is an important element of the game, is stealing cars.
That's right. You can steal cars, you can shoot people, stab people, blow people up, run people over, kill police officers. You can pay prostitutes to have sex with you in your car, and that gives you a health bonus. You can also buy hot dogs and ice cream and go bowling.
I didn't get round to the bowling. It is a shocking game, though. And yes, the whole game starts with someone being whipped, just in case you thought it might be fun.
Yeah. It is an extraordinary achievement in gaming. I used to play these sorts of games quite a lot, and I haven't played for quite a while.
You got a life.
Yeah. I'm quite keen to see how you've progressed on
the
game.
I tell you what, I got to the same level every time. I've played this game for hours. Hmm. You get off the boat, you're supposed to drive to meet your cousin. Your cousin is going to a casino to lose a load of money that he's stolen from Albanian loan sharks. Is everyone still with me?
Mm-hmm.
I've played this game at least 10 times, and every time I've ended up dead.
Well, let's have a look and see how good you are at playing the game. Yeah, there we go.
Here we are, here we are.
Stay off my space, you
yeah,
asshole!
Yeah, pleasant. Here we go. So what you do is you go up to the car, mm-hmm, and then you go, get out, get out! Steal the car, yeah, get out. Smash into this guy. Yeah, go on. And then you drive off. Like this. Yeah. Sorry.
You just hit a man.
Yeah, I just hit a man.
Okay, you've just been pulled out of the car that you stole.
I'm in a fight, look.
I don't want to worry you, but as well as being punched, the police are coming.
Are they? Oh, look, I'm yes. wanted. Oh, yeah, look, yeah. There's a punch.
That's it, punch it.
Come on.
Punch his face off.
Can we settle this amicably? No.
Run away, the police.
Okay, I'm running away. Look.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. Oh, I appear to be dead again.
Yeah.
Wow.
In Grand Theft Auto, you can be shot, blown up, stabbed, killed, or whatever. I've never seen anyone on their first carjacking get pulled back out of their own car and punched to death. Do you think these games are dangerous?
I would imagine it blunts your sensibility somewhat, doesn't it? Mm. If you spend all day imagining this is the real world. I can't imagine they're a terribly good thing for children to do.
Yeah.
I suppose I've always thought that real life is much more interesting.
But in fairness, you didn't reach the later levels where you can steal a tank.
No, you're right.
OK, well, Ian, your marks out of 10, please, for your first experience playing Grand Theft Auto.
2.
2 out of 10 for Grand Theft Auto. Now, Ian, let's turn to your spiritual life. Do you have a...
Well, you have to after that game.
You do. Do you have a spiritual life?
Yeah, I hope so. Again, that was one of the attractions, because you said, I bet you've never meditated. And I thought, no, I haven't. I have occasionally thought.
Whilst sitting still. I don't know whether that's
but
quite
that's,
the same
no,
thing.
No, it's obviously not the same thing at all. So that was a very good challenge.
Yeah.
And I thought I would really like to do that. I bet loads of people here have, haven't they? You done meditation? Yeah.
So some of them are now, I think.
They're just asleep.
Yeah. I was pleased that you were so keen on the idea of meditating, and it didn't seem to sort of worry you or make you nervous or anything.
No. I thought I'd quite like to try that. The idea being that you empty your mind, which, in my case, I think would be quite a good idea, because I've spent, years and years just filling it up
yeah.
with anything, just stuff. And I thought, Now, that sounds good.
Well, we asked you to try meditation, which you did. A few days ago, you had a training session with a Buddhist at the Sakya Buddhist Centre. It was with a chap called Adrian O'Sullivan, and he practices a form of meditation called Kagyu, which I think is quite focused on breathing, isn't it?
Yes. It was very simple, and I knew he was going to be a Buddhist, but then he was called Adrian, which, again, was touch disappointing. But he was very, very helpful and explanatory. So we assumed the position. And
Now, what was the position? are you going to attempt it in the jeans?
Yeah, no point in having them on otherwise.
No, quite right.
Oh.
So you're sitting in a semi-lotus.
In a semi-lotus, you see, I knew you'd know all about it.
Yeah, of course, a half-lotus. So you sort of rest your hands on your knees.
Now, I'm going to get up in a minute because it's just too painful.
Where does that hurt mainly?
Back, knees. Oh, everywhere, really.
Yeah. Do you think that helps you to clear your mind? the fact that you're in a lot of physical discomfort.
I did say this to him, and he said, the thing is, you have to concentrate on your breathing.
Yes.
It's just the breath going in and out of your nose.
Mm.
I've breathed really well. Then he said, oh, but there's nothing to be proud of. You don't meditate well. And I thought, well, if it's not competitive, what is the point of this? And he didn't do too much Buddha-type stuff at all. He kept the religion out of it. He said, we start off by thinking about death. We think about death in a number of ways. It's inevitable. It could happen at any time. And you will have no say in how it happens.
Mm.
So I concentrated on those three things, feeling calm in a way. But this is to detach one from the problems and emotions and passions and desires of the real world. It's all going to end, so think about breathing through your nose.
Right.
What you have to do, according to Adrian, is don't think about anything. So I was thinking, right, I'm not going to think about anything, but I've just thought that I'm not going to think about anything. Right, I'm going to banish that thought, but I've thought I'm going to banish that thought. And I've just thought that I thought I'm going to banish that thought. And I've thought that I've But it was good.
Did he encourage you to banish thoughts or to allow them to pass through without...
To pass through and to go back to the breathing through the nose. Yeah. Just focus on the nose.
I know it's quite hard to sum up an entire belief system in a few minutes and give it marks out of 10, and it does
Let's
seem...
Let's do it!
...in some ways superficial, but your marks out of 10 for Buddhism.
Yeah. I'm not going to give Buddhism marks out of 10.
The practice of meditation.
I think from an incredibly small amount of experience in meditation, I really enjoyed it. So I would give it 8.
8 out of 10 for meditation. Do you cook?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Right. Where the food that you eat, any idea where that comes from?
Yes, I'm not a fool. I know where food comes from. It comes from M&S.
But that isn't just ordinary food. That's M&S.
Yeah. I've never been very good at cooking, and when I lived on my own, when I first came to London, I lived essentially on tarama salata and Frosties, which are my two main recipes.
The breakfast of champions, Ian.
I was on Desert Island Discs, and at the end I was asked what my luxury would be, and I said, Frosties. So I thought, I don't know how I can live on an island, or indeed generally, without Frosties. And then the next day, a year's supply of Frosties was delivered to my home. Which is fantastic.
Wow.
And my wife said, why didn't you say a Porsche? So, no. On the whole, I didn't cook. I'm sort of rather terrified by it. The thought that it just will go wrong.
Well, I knew that, which is why I've asked you to bake me a cake. Which I think you did this morning, didn't you?
I did.
You don't seem too traumatised.
I've had a lot of time to recover. And I haven't actually tasted the cake yet.
Yes.
Because apparently you have to do that.
Well, we'll come to that in a moment. I'm certainly not going to rush towards it after what you've just said. Firstly, how did you go about choosing a recipe for this cake?
I can follow instructions. So I thought I will go for the person who treats you most like an idiot. And I thought Delia.
Thank goodness, I thought you were going to say Anne Widdecombe for a second.
I thought, well, it'll be in Delia.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked under C, cake. It's in there.
Let's have a listen to your baking experience.
So I've got Delia, house cook, and this says all-in-one sponge. For me, this is the best sponge of all and should work even if you've never made a cake before in your life. So this is designed for me. Right, a large, roomy mixing bowl. Not that drawer, obviously. If I was on MasterChef, he'd have said time up already, and I haven't even found a bowl. Salad bowl. 4 ounces flour. 1 teaspoon baking powder. 4 ounces soft margarine. 4 ounces of caster sugar. Sieve flour, baking powder, hold, sieve, idea. Should have sifted the flour and the baking powder. It's looking late for that, isn't it? This is Delia, it's got to be right. I could still do it. Holding the sieve high. Oh, yes, so it gets a good airing. Here it is, all sieved. What haven't I put in? Eggs. 4 large eggs. No, 2 large eggs. Probably makes a difference. And 2 to 3 drops of vanilla essence. This thing I couldn't find earlier. Do you believe it? M&S didn't have it. To go to Waitrose. It's a real operation. 2 to 3 drops. That must be enough. It's going to be pretty vanilla-y. Add all the other ingredients and whisk them, preferably with an electric hand whisk. Here we go. How long do you go on doing this? Oh, no! No, that's not meant to happen. It's fallen off the whisk onto the surface. I'm going to waste this bit. I could eat that entire thing now. That's the idea. Now, divide the mixture between the 2 tins. Can't help thinking that doesn't look like nearly enough. It looks to me like some thinly spread mixture over a bit of paper that's going to turn into a really dismal sandwich. And Delia goes on about the important thing is confidence. How can you be confident? Look at it. I can't delay any longer. Oven gloves. Right, this is it. 30 minutes from now, my guess is we're going to have nothing much happening.
Well, it sort of sounded like it went quite well. I'm glad you realised that 4 eggs was too many, because that very nearly was an omelette. Did you find it stressful?
Unbelievably. There's so much you have to do.
Hmm.
It took me most of the day.
To shop and...
Yeah.
Go to M&S and then have to go right down market to Waitrose.
You go to Waitrose, drawing the thing in the greaseproof paper with a thing and cutting it out and doing it again because it didn't fit and thinking, is that what you do? This all-important confidence she talks about.
Yes, you know, that was lacking.
Well, particularly when there's a whole page in the book that says, what's gone wrong with my cake? And there's a series of things that I thought, I've done all of those.
You know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, so let's have a look now. I haven't seen it yet. There is a cake tin in front of me, which is about sort of 4 inches deep. It's covered in foil, and I'm going to...
That fools you, the...
Take the lid off now, and... Now... Looks like a very nice Victoria sponge. It has a light dusting of icing on the top. I hope that's icing. It has a cream and jam centre, and each of the sponges is about sort of nearly a centimetre thick. it's more like a biscuit.
It's not the tallest sponge I've ever seen.
It isn't, but size isn't everything.
I feel it didn't rise.
Well,
somehow.
I'm going to cut it now.
Right.
It feels quite soft.
That's got to be good for a sponge, presumably.
I think so. And the fact that there's no noise as I cut it, there's not a scream or a crack, I think is a good thing. Look at that. I mean, the sponge looks moist and it's a nice yellow colour. I'm going to do a few slices here and get the audience to try it.
That would be the ultimate test, because he's lied about everything so far, including the jeans, so... I need a realistic assessment of...
No, it wasn't for that reason. It's just I don't really want to eat it. It would be really nice if everybody got some cake. If you can be very generous and kind and have a bite or something and then sort of pass it around.
You're not going to taste. You've got
no,
to
I,
taste
I am going to taste. I absolutely am. I should point out that I have one of those slightly fancy intolerances to sugar, and I haven't eaten any cake in over 20 years. That's not an exaggeration. So if I have a massive... a massive reaction, it's probably less to do with the cake and more to do with me. Here goes. I'm going to have a taste. Oh, mercy me, I've missed that. Oh, Ian, try a piece. Try a piece, honestly. Mmm. You see?
It's edible.
Oh, no, come on. It's much better than edible. Who tried the cake down here? What did you think of Ian Hislop's cake?
It was delicious. It was really nice.
Really delicious. Mm-hmm. Are you quite experienced in Victoria sponges?
Oh, yes. I have lots of experience.
Well, I'm incredibly flattered, because when it came out, I thought, shall I just nip back to M&S and get the Victoria sponge that's already done?
Your family were quite excited, I think, about the idea of you doing some cooking.
Yeah, I think they found the idea very, very amusing.
Do you think
ridiculous.
You might find the time to bake them a cake?
Yeah, definitely. But next time, how do you get it to just be bigger?
Use more stuff.
Right, and what about the oven?
Yeah, you don't need a larger oven. I mean, unless... I don't know.
No, I'm going on all the ingredients here.
Well, for me, I thought that was delicious, and you tackled it despite clearly being quite frightened of the experience. What would your marks out of 10 be for baking your first cake?
Well, I've completely changed my mind. It's pathetic. A few people saying it was nice, and I'm ecstatic. A few hours ago, I was going to say, I hate it. I hate the whole experience. I'm useless. It doesn't work. Delia's conned me. So that was my earlier view, but now... I just love it. 10 from me. Yes!
Ian Hislop, thank you very much for being my guest on I've Never Seen Star Wars. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Hislop.
Thank you.